It is wonderful to be in the presence of our Lord this morning and to sing as one body of Christ, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I know that I've had the opportunity to talk to many of you, but for those who don't know me, my name is Camden Chatterson. I am currently a student at Heritage College, where Pastor West is one of my professors. And so I call him Dr. West, which sounds probably pretty strange to you. But funny enough, a couple weeks ago, I got the okay to now I can call him Steve. but don't tell him that I said that. Don't tell him. But previous to Heritage, I lived in Ireland with my parents, Scott and Andrea Chattersons, as missionaries there. And on behalf of my family, I just want to say thank you to Madoc Baptist Church for all of your support, whether through financial giving or simply through prayer for our ministry there. And so today, I am honored to have the privilege to speak from God's Word this morning, but I'm going to be very real here, and that the past couple of weeks while preparing, there has been a spiritual darkness trying to cloud my heart and my mind as I want to handle the Word of God rightly. And I merely want to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to communicate God's truth found in this book. And so before we consider this morning's passage, I ask that we would pray. I would like to pray for the Lord's guidance and leading, that I would get out of the way of the hope and the truth that is found in God's Word. So, our dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord. I just want to thank you so much for this day that you have gifted us. And Lord, I pray for your leading and guiding now. Lord, would you please calm my spirit? Humble me, Lord, as this is your word that you've placed on my heart. And so I just pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds to your word this morning, and Lord, that you would impact us and speak to us. In your heavenly precious name, Jesus, amen. So this morning's text is an instrumental passage of Scripture that provides a picture of God's character, how we who have accepted Christ have fellowship with God, and how this fellowship with God affects our relations with other Christians, and our responsibility that we have as followers of Christ to live out our lives and shine forth God's light that is found within us and for the furtherance of God's kingdom. So I would like to invite you to join me in turning to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So Lord, I just pray that you would please bless the reading of your word this morning and open up our hearts to it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So when the disciple John was first writing his first epistle while in the city of Ephesus, he wanted Christians to understand that all humans are sinful, but that Christians who are walking in the light have joyful fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with each other through repentance and faith in Christ. However, during that time, there were individuals who claimed to have this fellowship with God, but were living a completely different lifestyle than the one that Christ has called us to live. This is why throughout verses 5 to 10, John is primarily dealing with two claims. Those who claim to have fellowship with God and yet are walking in darkness, and characteristically, this is known in Scripture as the wicked. And those who have fellowship with God and are walking in the light, otherwise known as the righteous, and have a communing fellowship with the Lord. And just for context's sake, within John's time of writing, which was primarily Greek-dominated, this idea of fellowship with God was absolutely astounding. They had only ever restricted that kind of a fellowship, that intimate relationship between one another. And so the Greek word, you may have heard of it, but the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. And it speaks of a communing fellowship, one of a sharing, a common bond that one would have within a living, a loving and breathing relationship. And so, as I said, this thought of a close relationship with God was absolutely unheard of for John's readers. And so this idea of fellowship is going to be very important today. And it's actually one of the most important ideas in the entire book of 1 John. So starting in verse 5, the first line says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." John is reminding his readers that this message, which he is about to proclaim to his audience, does not come from himself. This is not a human-devised scheme in which the disciples or early apostles made up a religion based upon Jesus, the person of Jesus of Nazareth, to gain power or popularity, because if it was, other than, I guess, the disciple John, all were martyred for their faith in Jesus. But instead of a man-made teaching fabricated by John's own intellect, he regards it as a direct teaching from Jesus. And when John writes "we," he's referring to himself and the other apostles testifying to what they had seen and heard with their ears while walking with Jesus on earth. And this is a big deal, because John was one of the 12 disciples from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the same John that was called out of his father's boat with his brother James to be a disciple of Christ. This is the same John that sat next to Jesus at the Last Supper. This is the same man who ran with Peter to the tomb of Christ and found it empty. This is the same man who looked upon Jesus hanging on the cross and took the mother of Jesus, Mary, as his own. And this is the same man that had fish breakfast that the resurrected Jesus had cooked up for him on the lakeshore. And I don't know about you, I don't really think about fish for breakfast, but if it's made by Jesus, it must be pretty fantastic. So this provides a picture that John is not just some Joe Louis, some average Joe that is writing some ancient documents on the top 10 ways of living a happy, fulfilling life. This is a highly qualified individual who is writing down what he and the others had heard, seen, gazed upon, and reading in 1 John 1:1, had even touched with their hands. So this validates John's message, which he is about to write down as one of Jesus' very own teachings, and that the audience should listen and pay attention to the message he is about to share. And this word that John writes of is still relevant to our lives today, almost 2,000 years later. This should cause us to listen more intently to this passage, which deals with having a communing fellowship with the Lord. So continuing on in verse 5, John writes that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this kind of sets up the key symbolism that John uses, which is a distinction between the wicked as darkness and the righteous as light. And within Scripture, light is often used as a metaphor to characterize righteousness, goodness, knowledge, holiness. And within this verse, John writes of God's character as being light. And note that we're not told that God is a light, but God is light. God's essence and character is light, meaning that God is completely, unreservedly, absolutely holy, with no taint of sin, nor hint of injustice. And how does this relate to us who are created in God's image? Well, this natural contrast between light and darkness is actually spoken a lot of in Scripture to characterize those who are living in line with God, in obedience to His word, and those who are living apart from the Lord as those walking in darkness. For example, in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 4, verse 18, the writer compares those who are living a righteous life as those walking in the light. Quote, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." And I'm going to repeat that. "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." Now think about that for a moment. Think about the awe and the beauty that sunrises bring. I know for myself, though cameras never do it justice, I always love when I wake up early in the morning to take photos of the sunrise. And honestly, I always feel very optimistic about what my day may hold when I see the sun rises in the sky. And this same beauty and purity that we see each day when the sun rises in the sky is what the author of Proverbs equates to those who are walking in the light and walk righteously. And notice how in this proverb there's a repetition of the word brighter, saying, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. This implies that as we walk in fellowship with God, it's not like we hit a limiter, that we reach God-like status, but instead means that as we walk in fellowship with God, we are continually growing in our faith. And his light should continue to grow brighter and brighter in how we interact with those around us, serve one another, how we discipline ourselves to read God's word, pray, serve in our local church, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives for Christ. So I'm going to pose a question, which is as much for myself as it is for us as a congregation. How is your light through Christ shining brighter and brighter in your daily fellowship with God and with those around you? How is your light through Christ shining brighter and brighter in your daily fellowship with God and those around you? In the same proverb, what intrigues me when reading further is how the very next line uses the same verbiage of John's letter to describe those who are not walking with God. As it says in quote, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." This writer describes those who are not walking in fellowship with God as those who are stumbling in the very darkness they're living in, or in other words, they're blinded by their own sin. And even though there are individuals today who are characteristically good people, have senses of good morals, without Christ, you can be the most moral person in the world and yet still face eternal separation from God because you have rejected God's gift, free gift of salvation, which was paid for through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection. And in fact, John tells us in verse 6 that those who do not know the Lord are liars. In quote, "They do not practice the truth." What is this truth? This truth that John speaks of is the hope and the message of the gospel. And in short, the gospel is the good news of what God has done in Christ to secure our salvation. And as followers of Christ, we can have complete assurance in this hope of the gospel, which has made a way for us to have a relationship with God, and that our relationship with Him has been restored, and understand that we now have unhindered communing fellowship with the Lord. Friends, this is glorious news. Amen? Amen. And so it's so, so important to examine our hearts and understand where our allegiances lie. Because as John writes, if we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie. Do not practice the truth. Now think about that for a moment. For those who walk in darkness, they ultimately don't know God. And they have rejected God and believe that they can save themselves. But Jesus clearly tells us what will happen to those who don't know Him, who don't know the Lord, and do not have this fellowship. As Jesus says in John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Additionally, in Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 to 9, that he will punish those who don't know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from his glory and the glory of his might. And these are heavy truths for us to hear. But these verses are also an act of compassion from God. And what do I mean by that? By saying that these verses are heavy truths to hear, I by no means am trying to communicate that I somehow possess more compassion than Jesus does when he's saying this. These words are for everyone and are freely available for all to read. Jesus shares these truths so that we may know that salvation is through him alone. And that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And for us who have accepted Jesus into our lives, this verse should cause us to rejoice in the salvation which we have been given and have hearts of gratitude for Christ's death on the cross and for him to pave a way for us to have direct fellowship with God and walk in the light. And to know God is to walk with him in the light, his pure, righteous, and holy light. Not only has Jesus made a way for us to have fellowship with God, but this also results in fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. As you are walking in the light, as he being Jesus is in the light, then as our vertical relationship with God grows and shines brighter and brighter, as we read earlier from that proverb, those rays are going to impact our horizontal relationships with our fellow believers. And think about that for a moment. As a missionary kid, I was able to be on the mission field with my parents for 6 years in the Republic of Ireland. It was absolutely amazing to see Christians from all over the world who speak different languages, coming from different cultural backgrounds, and yet we all are one body in Christ, and we all serve the same God. And it's because of our fellowship with the Lord that we are able to have true fellowship with one another. And I just want to encourage Madoc Baptist Church. This community is absolutely beautiful. And even though I've only started coming consistently since early May, I have felt so welcomed here. And it is always so encouraging to hear from other believers about how God has touched their lives. And for John, he's trying to communicate quite plainly that when you have fellowship with God, you have fellowship with one another as one body in Christ. That's truly a beautiful picture. However, there's also a responsibility that we have as light bearers in this darkened world. In Jesus' words, he states in John 8:12, I should say, that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Friends, we who follow Christ have the light of life. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is the ultimate source of spiritual light in this world. And we are indwelled by him and do not have to navigate this darkened world by ourselves. And praise God that this light is not just for ourselves, but for every person on earth. And because of our fellowship with God, there is fruit of his light that is bore through us and affects those who do not know the Lord. There are many people that I've had the privilege of getting to know and speaking to, and even people at Heritage who were drawn to God by a coworker, a family member, or a friend who had recently become a Christian, and they realized that this individual who's accepted Christ, they have a peace, a joy, a contentment that they don't have. Or in other words, those individuals have been given the light of life. And so there's so many people in this world that need to hear of this hope that we found in Christ. And that this light that we possess is not because of us, but is because of Him. And you know, I don't know if this is a good illustration or not, but my grandparents during the summer months have a automatic floodlight that turns on during the summer. And there are dozens and dozens of moths that flock to this light who just can't get enough of it. Well, friends, in our workplaces, family life, church community, and everywhere we go, may we essentially be that floodlight to everyone around us. Because believe it or not, Jesus Christ changes people's lives. That is an undeniable fact. Those who have truly surrendered their lives to Christ are not the same person. So may we be like that driveway floodlight that dozens of individuals are attracted to who are hungry for God's light. And be faithful in sharing the good news of the gospel that they may have fellowship with God and that they may be given the light of life. But even though we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, have been saved from death through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, I don't know about you, but there isn't a day that goes by when I don't sin against the Lord because of my own flesh. We're still faced with temptations each and every day. And we have to make that choice of whether or not we're going to give into those desires or ask God to extend His grace, His power and strength to overcome our desires through Him. And praise God that we have that fellowship with the Lord, that we can lift up our temptations, our burdens, and lay them at His feet. Because even if we do sin, in verse 9 of today's passage, it says that He, being Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, there have been many seasons in my life where my relationship with the Lord has been strained. Never broken, but strained. And it specifically took moving to Ireland for 6 years for God to get a hold of my life. And Jesus was faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and continues to be to this day. For He desires for us to have fellowship with Himself, with God, and with one another, and to walk in the light as He is in the light. And not just to keep this light of life to ourselves, but to shine this light in every nook and cranny of this entire world, that we may live for the furtherance of His kingdom. And so, before we close, I just want to ask that we take a moment to examine our hearts before the Lord. Is there anything in your lives that you need the light of God to reveal in your life? Do we walk in darkness or the light? Because only one of those allows us to have fellowship with one another and the purifying blood of Jesus. Do we claim to be without sin? Or do we confess our sins before God? Because only one of these paths lead to forgiveness and purification from all unrighteousness. And if we find our allegiances are misaligned, well, then 1 John tells us exactly what to do. We are to confess our sins to God and receive His forgiveness and purification from our sin. And as verse 9 promises, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So let's take a moment to pray before the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this time that we as a congregation can come into your holy presence and worship you. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to earth to fulfill your Father's plan of redemption and paid for our sins on the cross, and that you have paved a way for us to have communing fellowship with the Father and with you, Jesus. And Jesus, may we walk in the light as you are in the light and be faithful to shine forth your light in this world, to those around us. And Lord, if there's any sin in our hearts, may we confess it unto you. And Jesus, thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so bless us now, Lord, as we head out of this, of your holy sanctuary. Lord, would you please bless the remainder of our day? In your name, Jesus. Amen.